We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Now, this is not the first time I've gone against a Michigan State team, and one of the things that's super impressive is how quickly they get the ball out the net and up the floor after the other team scores. So you, like, transition. We call it the bookends, right? The moment they touch the ball, then the end of it and how great they rebound. So those two things we have to be prepared for, stopping them in transition, getting back, building the wall, making them play in the half court. And then at the end, when they take a shot, is being able to corral the ball and limit their second-chance opportunities. And then they just play with Coach Izzo's toughness, you know, that gritty toughness, fight you for every inch of the court, on every dribble and every pass. And so they're really good players that do those things. And so that makes it really hard.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk basketball with C.J. Moore from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at CJ Moore Hoops is his handle. What's up, CJ? How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Doing very well. That was, of course, Jerome Tang talking about facing Tom Izzo at Michigan State tonight in the Sweet 16. But before we get to that, I would like to ask you about a couple of coaching hires, if that's okay. Number one, what's your reaction to our friend Kim English getting hired at Providence?
Yeah, I mean, as a quick rise up the ladder for Kim, and I think he'll do a good job. But, you know, he's got a ton of energy. He knows how to promote a program. He knows how to promote himself. Obviously, just moving up as quickly as he has, I'm sure he'll be able to recruit. And it'll be. I mean, he is in a loaded league. That league was really good this year, and it just got better with the hires that they made this off season. So. He's got a tough job ahead of him, but, you know, I'm sure he'll grind.
All right, another one because, of course, we broadcast live in Wichita, where, believe it or not, Marco Marquez, huge star in Wichita. A lot of people know his name, and he can not very comfortably walk the streets in Wichita. But what about Wichita State hiring Paul Mills? Tell us what you think of that hire.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think that you know, Paul has been around a long time. I believe he's from Houston. You know, has recruited Texas, the state of Texas, forever. Was at Baylor for a while. Has done a nice job at ORU. And you know, this is coaching is an industry where a lot of guys have energy. But when I say, like, this is a high energy dude, like, he's at another level. You know, he's one of the more energetic guys he's been around. Has a little Scott Drew in him, you know, from being around Scott Drew. So I think he'll do a good job. I think he'll be able to recruit there. I think, you know, he's a really good offensive coach. I think, you know, that's one thing Wichita's struggled with the last couple of years. I think they'll be able to score again. And, yeah, I think all around it was a good hire. I know they had a lot of good candidates there, and I think they made a good choice in Paul.
Yeah, I'd love to see Wichita State get back to being a top 25 team. So that would be great for everyone involved.
They're in a great spot them and Memphis now, I think, are the class of that league. So, you know, I think they'll be able to compete right away.
All right, let's get into the Sweet 16 right to here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can listen to all the action in the first game at 5:30. Madison Square Garden, it's Kansas State and Michigan State. Even though K-State's the 3 seed and Michigan State is the 7 seed, the last line I saw, Marco, update us, it could be moving. The last thing I saw was Michigan State favored by a point and a half, which has surprised a few people. But you tell me, break down, it is still a point and a half, Michigan State favored. Break down this matchup for us. What can we expect tonight when Kansas State takes on Michigan State?
Gosh, no respect for possible National Coach of the Year, Jerome Tang. That's what that line. That line is Tom Izzo influence, I would say. But you know, Michigan State. I heard your intro there, where Jerome was talking about how quickly they get the ball out and run it up, and usually they do. But this team for Michigan State plays a lot slower. You know, but really, really has a lot of good shooting. Is old. I think it'll be, you know, I think K-State would prefer to play kind of an up-tempo, up-and-down game. But if it's more of a half-court game, I think that maybe favors Michigan State a little bit. But, man, if Marquise Noel stays on the run he's been on, and we've seen him, you know, reel off three, four games like this in a row, I would give K-State an advantage, because I think K-State will have the most two talented players on the floor, Marquise Noel and Deontay Johnson, so that's a good sign for the Cats. But this is a Michigan State team that played a lot of tough games, always challenges itself in the non-conference. Like, it'll be ready for that stage, but I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's one of the better Sweet 16 matchups we got.
So I remember for a long time there was like the stat that Tom Izzo, if you played 4 years for Tom Izzo, you're going to make it to the Final Four at least once. Is he still getting shine from that? Like, do people still think, oh man, Tom Izzo, he gets to the Final Four a lot, or has that worn off?
No, I think he's still considered a really, really great coach in March. You know, his rosters haven't been as talented in recent years as they used to be, but yeah, I think the last really probably great team he had, like close to great team he had, was the year we had COVID shut it all down. That team probably had a chance to reach a Final Four. The teams he's had the last couple of years have just been okay. This team's, you know, more in the just okay, but I do think, is maybe figuring some things out here late, and was better like the last half of the last month of the Big Ten, but definitely not like the Tom Izzo teams we used to see in the early 2000s, like early aughts. So their talent's just not what it quite used to be.
So who do you expect to win between K-State and Michigan State?
I'll take the Cats. I'll take the Cats. I think it'll be a close one, but I'll take K-State.
Now, the winner of that game, let's say it's K-State, will face a Sweet 16 matchup that very few people were anticipating, FAU in Tennessee. And I'll be honest, mm-hmm. I'm guilty of it. You know, I watched Mizzou beat Tennessee a couple of times and beat them in the SEC tournament. And I just thought losing their point guard was too much for them to overcome. And I expected an early exit from the tournament. They did get by. They had a close call against Louisiana. But then they beat Duke. And now here they are going up against FAU. Everyone thought that would be Purdue. But FAU, even though we're still trying to figure out what they are because of their, you know, lack of strength of schedule, they beat Memphis, and even though maybe they shouldn't have because of the refs, they beat Memphis. They got by Cinderella. They are 33-3, so there's got to be something there. I don't know. I have no idea what to expect from this FAU Tennessee game. What about you?
Well, I'll tell you this. Look at what Conference USA is doing in the NIT. Both UAB and North Texas are still live. I think the top three teams in that league were really good. And I like Tennessee, you know, is I'm sure favored and should be favored. And but I think that if you get Tennessee on the second game of the tournament weekend, like Duke did, like you got a little bit tired legs maybe going up against Tennessee, that's tough because their physicality is just another level. And I think they were able – I haven't been able to watch the game yet, but just knowing what Duke is like – and knowing what Tennessee is like, I get the feeling Tennessee punked Duke. And I think this FAU team will be a little bit more prepared for the physicality and, you know, playing it on the first game instead of the second game of the weekend is advantageous. I think it could be a really, really good game. I've watched a lot of FAU tape because I did a story on Dusty May about 2-3 weeks ago, and I think he's tremendous. Like, he's a really, really good coach. They haven't shot the ball well yet in this tournament, and they're a really good three-point shooting team with, like, a ton of shooters. So that's going to be something they need to do tonight. Like, they're going to need to make shots. But I think FAU's got a real shot. Like, I think that, you know, North Texas is probably a team that maybe prepares them for this because North Texas is a really, really good defensive team, physical. So I think FAU will be ready, and I think they've got some guys that, you know, could play at the high major level. And I think it'll be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
So a lot of people, basketball people, were tweeting during that game between Tennessee and Duke and how physical Tennessee was, but almost, you know, dirty and in manhandling and being too physical, and that was a big deal. They were just more physical than Duke to the point where some people were complaining about the way Tennessee was playing. I want to play this clip for you since you brought up Dusty May, the head coach at FAU.
Australian rules.
Yeah, I love this for people that haven't heard. This is what he said, his final comment at his press conference a day ago.
Now that you're heading to Madison Square Garden to take on Tennessee in the Sweet 16, how are you guys approaching that matchup?
We're going to study Australian rugby rules and get ready for the Vols.
Study Australian rugby rules and get ready for the Vols. And so you know what he's expecting, right?
Yeah.
But you know a little bit about – tell me about Dusty May, because, again, this is a guy that's being mentioned in a lot of coaching searches and a guy that's a rising star in the coaching ranks. FAU had never done anything in the NCAA tournament, and here they are with 33 wins and a win away from the Elite Eight. What is it about, that makes him special, and what do you think about that comment?
Love the comment. He is good in front of a microphone, man. I think when they maybe won their semifinal game in the Conference USA tournament, one of the whoever was playing next, I think it was maybe UAB, one of their kids like backed into him. He yells out charge or blocker charge. He's good on his feet, but I think he's a really, really good offensive coach. You know, they spread you out. They run some fun stuff. And then he's one of the thing I love about him is if you go back and watch the end of that Memphis game and they've got the ball baseline out of bounds with a few seconds left and he calls timeout. And if you look at him in their huddle, he's smiling. And like, I think he gets his guys to really, relax and just play, you know. They've been Alex Schiffer has a story on The Athletic today. As I gave him the ideas, is they've been really, really good in close games. And Grant McCaslin, the North Texas coach, told me that like they came out of timeout when they played them at their place, and Grant was like, I felt like we were going to win the game, and then their guys came out on the floor and they were like, we're going to beat you, like this is over. And he's like, my guys were just deflated. Like, he's like, those guys have a presence about them. And so I think he's somebody that psychologically does a really good job with his team. And so he'll have them prepared and ready for what Tennessee's about to bring.
You pick him to win tonight?
Sure, why not?
Wow. I think
that's the one I'd love to see. I'd love to see FAU K-State because, honestly, like big fan of both coaching staffs, and if one of those, you know, those groups is going to the Final Four, I'd love to see it. So yeah, I'll bet with my heart.
Yeah, sign me up.
I mean, I feel like what you were just saying about the FAU team and their confidence. That's why.
That's
what I love about Jerome Tang. I mean, he's got those guys playing with a free mind and playing with confidence, and that can be as important as what kind of X's and O's you dial up, almost, and especially in the tournament when the pressure's so high.
For sure, because a lot of times, you know, especially when it's that first game of the weekend and you've had a week to prepare, like, you know what they're running. You've scouted them so well. It comes down to players making plays a lot of times.
All right, we've got other matchups tonight. Don't get mad, Nate. I'm just going through them. Arkansas in the Sweet 16 now. A shirtless coach, a fired-up fan base. Taking on UConn. And, you know, Nate, Ken Pom loves UConn. UConn, this matchup on paper is very exciting. And also, I mean, look, there's a bunch of good matchups, but I love both matchups in the West, Arkansas, UConn, and then Gonzaga and UCLA. And I'm, hey, look, I'm never enthusiastic about watching a sporting event that starts around 8:45 or 9, but I'm staying up for this one. I'm looking forward to that.
Be a good game.
I can't wait. So what do you think about the other two games in the West tonight?
Yeah, I think that Gonzaga-UCLA game is probably the game of the Sweet 16. Like, that's going to be really, really fun. UConn-Arkansas will be an interesting matchup. I think that, you know, you have to be able to run UConn off the three-point line. They're going to run, like, a lot of staggers, a lot of screens away from the ball to get their shooters open. And then they're able to throw it into the post. You know, that's one thing this Kansas team wasn't able to do this year is throw it into the post. Arkansas's got, like, some, you know, energy big guys, but they're not super, super talented. And I'll be interested to see, like, how the UConn bigs, if they're able to have some success there. But if it could just comes down to, like, making plays off the dribble and, you know, kind of like it did in that Kansas-Arkansas game, like, that Arkansas is going to be able to do that better than UConn. UConn's going to be able to have to run its stuff and get the ball to its scores. But so that'll be an interesting matchup. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that Gonzaga-UCLA one.
Yeah, I had Connecticut beating Kansas, so obviously I've got a lot of respect for Connecticut, and Kansas fell up a little short there against Arkansas. But I had Gonzaga going all the way to the national championship game and winning it this year. And honestly, CJ, it's not because I think they're the best team, but I feel like it's kind of their turn. You know, like they what is it, 8 years in a row in the Sweet 16, and I don't believe, like, people like to build narratives that, oh, this team can't win in March or that team can't win in March. And people used to say that about Bill Self, and now he's got two national titles, you know. I just feel like you keep getting there. At some point, it's going to be your turn. But this UCLA team, I mean, they're favored in this game. And I guess I'm curious how you think they – like, how does Gonzaga match up against them? I mean, obviously, KenPom thinks these are two teams that are both good enough to make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, you know, I think that obviously the advantage Gonzaga has is Drew Timmy. And if they're able to get the ball to Drew Timmy, you know, UCLA is a little young up front. He could have a monster game. But the weakness for Gonzaga this year and kind of the reason it struggled in the non-conference was its guard play. You know, it's not nearly as good at point guard or in the backcourt as it was the last couple of years with Andrew Nembhard, who's been really, really good for the Pacers. Nolan Hickman, a guy Kansas actually recruited really hard. He's a nice player, but, like, he's just not – he wasn't ready early on. Now, I think one advantage Gonzaga has, and I think some of this for Houston too, is when they, you know, they play a weaker conference schedule, but they can experiment a little bit. Their guys get confidence playing against that schedule. So sometimes when it gets to March, when maybe they didn't look ready in November or December, those younger guys, maybe they are ready now. So I think this is a big night for Nolan Hickman. You know, UCLA's got a very experienced point guard in Tiger Campbell. So that's kind of, you know, I'll be watching the guard play tonight. But, man, if they can get the ball to Timmy and let him do his thing, you know, he has been awesome in this NCAA tournament and is usually really, really good in March. And then Jaime Jaquez for UCLA, he's a mid-range killer, kind of an old-school player. I expect Jaime Jaquez and Drew Timmy just go be going back and forth tonight. That'll be a fun, you know, watching those guys score the ball will be fun to watch.
Now, who comes out of the West?
I had UCLA originally, so I'll just stick with that.
That's fine. All right, in Kansas City, we have Houston and Miami, and also Xavier and Texas. Mm-hmm. Who do you think will win the Midwest region in Kansas City?
Well, I will say this is one region where I think all four teams are good enough to do it, so I think the games are going to be really high level. But Houston's my national champ pick. I worry a little bit about their guard health, but I just watched their Auburn game yesterday, and you know, they don't look quite themselves, but they're not far off. So with a week to get healthy, I'm going to stick with Houston. I just think That team's floor is about as high as anybody's floor. And when they don't play well, they can still lean on their defense and their physicality. So I'll take Houston to come out of that region.
All right. Can anyone stop Alabama in the South?
I don't think San Diego State will be able to score enough, but they could make it hard with their defense. But if Creighton is hot and making threes, and Creighton's got talent, like Creighton is legit good. So I think Creighton could do it, but obviously Bama will be a favorite in both those games if the Sweet 16 won, and then if the matchup with Creighton happens. Now if Princeton wins, I don't think Princeton will be able to get it done, but who knows.
If it's the Princeton that showed up against Mizzou, they could beat the Lakers, CJ. Also, one of the keys to their success is, I've found out, if you don't guard their jump shots, they usually make them, which is funny. Uncontested, they're pretty good. Go ahead, Nate.
So can I ask you a little transfer portal stuff real quick before we let you go? I know the Kansas fans out there are already looking forward to next season now. Zach Clements, Cam Martin, and Bobby Pettiford all enter the transfer portal. I'm not sure there's a big surprise on any of those, but then when you assume that Grady Dick is going to go to the NBA draft and Jalen Wilson is gone as well, and also McCullough being out of eligibility now. It seems like there's going to be quite an overhaul at Kansas. What do you expect this offseason to look like for KU?
I would think that the transfers aren't done either. I would bet that maybe there's some more. KU has a class of four coming in, but it's going to need to get older on the perimeter. And so I would expect that the KU looks to go add some guys in the portal on the perimeter, and then maybe a big guy that can score as well. But I would expect a busy spring this year for the KU staff to try to find some guys in the portal. And I do the portal rankings at The Athletic with Sam Vecini, and we're going to start building that out next week. And I will tell you, so I've been keeping an eye on it. And so far, I don't think the talent pool is as good as it was, even close to as good as it was last year. Now, it's still early, and more guys could pop. But I will say that I do think the portal talent is down a little bit right now.
Why?
I don't know. I just, maybe the first couple of years you had so many guys jump in because of the immediate eligibility thing. And, I do think there are still going to be plenty of guys out there, but – there were some high level guys that went in last year that they're still playing in this tournament. Sully Boom, Sir Jabari Rice, I just did a story on, he was an under the radar guy, but Tyrese Hunter and Baylor Shireman, and there were some really, really high, Kevin McCullough, there were some high level dudes in there, and I just haven't, you don't see any of those guys yet.
CJ Moore from The Athletic, I'll be very interested to have you back on to talk about that list of the best talent available in the transfer portal, because it's I know that there's some good things and bad things about it, but just being a college basketball fan, it's just like free agency in the NFL or Major League Baseball. It's exciting. It's exciting to watch what a coach can do in just one offseason and building the roster. And so I'm fired up for it, and we'll have you on to talk about that. CJ, as always, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
That's CJ Moore from The Athletic. CJ Moore Hoops on Twitter.
That's got to keep people like him very busy.
Yeah.
The transfer portal, keeping an eye on all that.
Keep these coaches busy.
Well, yeah. You know what? Tough cookies for those coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They can up and leave whenever they want. Go, hop jobs within conferences, all that stuff.
It's just a lot. It's a lot more. I mean, it's like basketball is one thing. Just think about football, though.
Oh man,
to try to keep track of all that.
Which teams can manage the time of that it's going to take to like vet each person? Which guys would we be interested in? Which guys wouldn't we be interested in? How much can we learn about them in a short period of time?
And there are some coaches that don't want to do it. They're just like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know?
It's It's going to weed some out for sure, huh?
I just want to know if Kobe Brown's coming back for another year at Mizzou. I think he should, in my humble opinion.
Man, tell you what, it takes another step forward. He showed some NBA qualities, but maybe next year if he comes back, he can show, like, I'm willing and able to take over games, like, every time.
And so here's the deal. You talk about the changes in college basketball, and this is how one of them applies specifically to this example. Like, if he's going to go through the process and get a grade, right? And if he got a grade, like, anywhere, second round, whatever, then he just might go. But unless he gets a late first round or first or second or a chance to sneak into the back of the first, whatever, monetarily, he don't have to go because everything that's been reported, Mizzou is prepared, whoever's prepared, to offer him an NIL package that would make it very enticing for him to come back. And that's exactly the kind of guy you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Because that's just not a guy you're trying to attract from another program or a freshman that you don't know about. You know, like, if Kobe Brown comes back, there's a good chance he'll be a preseason top 25.
Yeah.
And he'll be a candidate to be preseason SEC player of the year. His first team this year. And if you look at the strides he made under Dennis Gates and this coaching staff, like, how good could he be if he comes back for another year? Look at Marco's getting all antsy. Now, seriously.
I really haven't thought about the possibility.
Because, like, in the past, you were he gone. But now NIL, like, yeah. And well, that's because, the kind of guy that you load up on.
Yeah.
Because he makes all, just.
He can make seven figures probably playing at Missouri.
Well, easy there. Just deep pockets over here. But like you.
I mean, you got to pay to play.
You're a Mizzou basketball fan, aren't you? Right?
Right.
What would your expectations and excitement be, Kobe Brown returns versus him not returning? Like, him returning, it's like,
Him returning is,
and that's hard in college basketball with the transfer portal and everything else. To have a guy that good that could come back at that age and be around that long, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that a huge advantage.
And so the thing is that, like, if you want to talk about a positive,
Kobe, you need to stay. Listen to me. Sorry.
He can listen to the money. He doesn't have to listen to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what's, if you want to talk about a positive with NIL.
NIL people, line his pockets.
It might not be enough to keep a guy like Grady Dick at Kansas because if he's expected to be a top 10 pick.
Right.
But that guy.
I'm talking about Kobe Brown, like that example.
Well, like last year with Jalen Wilson, right? He might have gotten drafted in the second round or something and been on a two-way contract and spent half the year in the G League playing in some small market in bad conditions. Or what if you can make six, if not seven figures, similar type money to play in the G League and develop your game while being big man on campus and playing in packed arenas and getting treated like a king? Because college athletics, you get treated like a king, you know?
Yeah, I hear fifth-year senior course studies aren't the worst.
Why not? I mean, so if you can keep guys like that in, you're going to develop one way or the other.
That'd be such a big difference.
Oh, man.
To have him or not to have him.
That's why that's the positive of NIL, right?
Marco said if Kobe Brown comes back, he'll fight you on the air. Unbelievable.
Oh, he doesn't want that smoke.
Unbelievable. You don't want that smoke, but
you'll see
it.
Me take my shirt off. Then,
that's
you know?
It. Boy, he'll do an Eric Musselman celebration.
I haven't seen enough of that.
Right in your face. We will take a break back into this on WHB. Hello, Kansas City. Stephen St. John here for QC Kinetics. That's right, QC Kinetics. Everyone's been talking about regenerative medicine because people who have joint pain are getting real lasting relief without drugs or surgery from QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in this exciting treatment. They use highly concentrated healing agents from your own body to restore and repair damaged joint tissue. If you have ongoing joint pain from arthritis or injury, you need to call QC Kinetics. Don't assume that steroids and surgery are your only option. All right? Don't put it off any longer. Spring's right around the corner, and you want to be living your best life. Call QC Kinetics now and get a free consultation with local medical professionals. 816-412-6299, located off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299. 816-412-6299. 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics.
Feel it coming in the air. Yeah. The screams from everywhere. Yeah. I'm addicted to the thrill.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is
who. Let me tell you something. This is a banger. This is a song you crank up. When you go run this town tonight, you going out for a nice date night, or just going out with the boys or the girls, crank this up like, yeah. Hey. I love this song. Thank you. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've had Buster Olney on the show, Gary Lezak, Gary Dieter, Anthony Sherman, C.J. Moore. And now we can play some more comments from coaches and players previewing. We're just a few hours away from the Sweet 16, 5:30 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. K-State, Michigan State, Jerome Tang, Tom Izzo, New York point guards battling it out at Madison Square Garden. Let's go. Let's hear Jerome Tang, number six, please. He was asked what he wants to take from the Baylor program and what he has taken from the Baylor program. And how he wants to pave his own way at Kansas State.
Man, that is a terrific question. Scott really exemplified what it is to be a servant leader. And so following in that mold of leadership that I'm here to serve these guys, our staff, our community, and so being a servant leader is something that I want to embrace. I want our guys to have incredible experiences that have nothing to do with winning and losing, for them to understand that there's a great life for them after the ball stops bouncing, but they've got to be great men and great husbands and great fathers, and the characteristics that you have to have in order to do those things. Paving my own way, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. I want the people who work for me the people who work with me to feel like it's their program, and I want them to take ownership of the areas that I give them and run with it, and I want our players to be able to feel like they can be themselves.
Speaking of New York City point guards, you see this story from Max Olson and The Athletic? The Big 12 is partnering with Rucker Park for youth clinics led by its coaches this summer and is aiming to play exhibition games at the legendary New York court in 2024. That's awesome. Brett Yormark looking to plant a Big 12 flag in New York City. So doing youth clinics at Rucker Park and playing some exhibition games there in 2024. Now, you talk about, like, if you're a fan of your school or whatever else and you like to go see them in different venues and get a chance to see them play here or there, you're Mr. New York City. You like to go up there. How cool would it be to watch, like, Kansas play an exhibition game at Rucker Park, one of the most legendary basketball courts in the world?
I can't tell you how exciting that would be. So one... One of my best friends from high school, Bishop Ward, KCK, that I grew up with, was a guy named Matt Zeising. And he is the curator of the James Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. So he travels all over the world putting together exhibits and getting things for exhibits about the game of basketball. Not just the NBA, but just basketball in general. He's done a ton of events at Rucker Park. So he's become friends with all the people that put those events on. And he's always been telling me about, he's like, man, you gotta come to Rucker Park sometime. You just have to.
Well, how about now?
I mean, how about that? That would be something. I just texted him to see if he's going to get involved at all. No, why would I leave him alone?
Jesus. Now let's move on. I think it's a great idea.
Awesome idea. Wonderful.
I know I'm sure someone will poo-poo on it, but whatever. Like, I think it's awesome.
Well, think about all the guys from New York that are playing for K-State right now. You know? I mean,
What?
Well, you look like you were... I was giving you time to think about
it. I'm thinking about
it. I was giving you time.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I mean, yeah. Someone take me off the air. Yeah.
That's awesome. When does that start?
I've had enough of myself today.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. I really have. In 2024. But this summer, they're going to do some youth clinics, the coaches.
I like that. So my buddy Matt just texted back. Yeah, I deal with Rucker people quite a bit here. It's never easy.
Maybe not the...
But it's worth it.
No.
Damn it, Matt.
Maybe not the endorsement you're looking for, but that's fine. All right, let's hear more from Jerome Tang. He was asked how big it was to get Marquise Noel to stay.
Please stay.
Huge. The really cool thing about it is that, and I found this out after, probably a month or two after I got the job, that Marquise had actually texted Gene Taylor, our athletic director, during the search and told him that, like, give him in my name. Like, hey, I'm going to help this, that Marquise was willing to stay to help the program win, right? But, like, he told him, hey, look at Jerome Tang. And so when I got there, and I didn't know this, in my very first meeting with the team, he had unbelievable eye contact, and he was nodding his head, like, in agreement with the things I was saying. And I just felt there was a heart connection there. And from the moment after that meeting on, he's been all on board. So, yeah, we're not here without Marquise Noel staying.
Here, Jerome Tang also was asked about why he felt confident that Keontae Johnson could overcome his health issues and come back and play.
First of all, having the experience with Jared and a couple other guys at Baylor gave me the comfort level that I knew that I could help him get into basketball shape. Having dealt with those doctors before, I was very confident when they told me what his situation was and that he was good to play. And if it was their son, they would be on the court also. Watching Keontae just continue to grow as a player and do the spectacular things on the court has been extremely rewarding, but not near as rewarding as watching him be thankful every day for the opportunity. I mean, if you watch him, like, this dude's an All-American, and he always wears the team shoes, right? He doesn't have, like, most guys want to have their own thing. He always wears the team shoes, and he doesn't complain. And he plays video games with the walk-ons. You know, everybody in the locker room loves him. You know, I mean, he's just a great teammate. And so that's the thing to me that's been the most rewarding, to see someone as talented as him be really thankful for this opportunity and then display it with his actions.
I would, but you would not, Nate. That's the way I feel.
You don't think I would?
You would not wear the team shoes. I'd wear the team shoes. You wouldn't. You'd wear something flamboyant or some Jordans. You'd have to.
It's got to stand out.
Right.
Make my mark.
I'm just telling. Nothing wrong with it. A lot of. I'm just telling you. If we were on a team together, I would wear the team shoes, and you wouldn't. What do you think of that?
I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Well, because you know you're.
I always got to be different, don't I?
No, you're. It's a shoe thing.
I do. Well, I liked it. Right. I like the K-State shoe game right now. Mm-hmm. It's good.
You'd have something, you know.
Would you wear the warm-up fit, the team warm-up fit?
Sure. I'm a team guy.
No? The sweatsuit?
You ask around, team guy, through and through.
Team first. That's always Steven's motto.
Team. I'm like Al Capone in the Untouchables. I don't want no one bashing my head in with a baseball bat. I've seen it happen. And see, you've never seen that movie, have you? All right, and you never
seen
which movie?
I'm sorry.
The Untouchables.
No, I
with
seen
Robert
that.
De Niro as Al Capone, Sean Connery, Kevin Costner, a tremendous cast.
That is a good cast.
And he has that the great scene when he's got the baseball teamwork. Teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of those fiction movies?
Al Capone was a real person, Marco. I'm just letting you know.
And no, he's not. No one has the last name.
And so he talks about teamwork, you know. But he's talking. He's giving the speech because one guy ain't been. Mm-hmm.
He's not
been
in
out
on
there
the
for
team.
Himself.
Yeah.
Ain't happened to me. Give me the team shoes here. I'm not having no one walk up behind me with a Louisville Slugger. I've seen it happen. I've been here for 24 years for a reason. Team first, baby.
Right.
Told you I needed.
I think I'm a team player. I'll wear the shoes. I don't want to get hit with a bat.
Right now, you see, Marco don't care. Back into this on WHP. Start spreading. I know people have been clamoring. They've been demanding, they've been politely asking. If you're locked into DraftKings Sportsbook, and we will be in Lebo's office right after the show, you've been waiting for Marco's picks for tonight's game, so here we go. Marco wants to pay your mortgage this month, or make your car payment, or do something, I don't know. Marco, Michigan State, Kansas State, Michigan State, favored by 1.5. The over-under is 138. What do you like here?
I like the under a lot. Going under.
Loves the under. Staying away from the actual game. Just go the under?
Yeah, just go to the under. I've been conflicted in my head about the pick itself.
Well, we don't want that then. So Marco says take the under and then collect your winnings. Arkansas-UConn. UConn favored by 4. The number of this game is 140. What do you like here?
I like UConn minus 4.
He likes UConn. He'll give up the 4 and says Eric Musselman keeps his shirt on after the game.
A little bit of that is petty towards Musselman and the lack of.
He didn't like it.
You know, it's a funny ironic name there, Musselman, but.
Yeah. He's very lean and sinewy, but you didn't like that.
No, not at all.
You like your shirt off. Okay,
I don't even like Arkansas.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Rivalry.
We're all together on that now. Florida Atlantic and Tennessee. A very difficult matchup to pick. Tennessee's favored by 5. The number's 129.5. Marco, what say you?
I would have to say go with the under in this one. I think
under.
The only reason it goes over is if Florida Atlantic wins, and I don't see that happening.
If it turns into a...
I don't like that pick, though.
An Australian rules football game.
Right.
You know?
You don't like it. You like the under. And finally...
That game in general.
This is a showdown, baby. Gonzaga, UCLA, the Bruins favored by 1.5. The number here is 145.5. What about this marquee matchup in the Sweet 16, Marco?
Yeah, give me. I'll take Gonzaga in the points here.
We'll take the Zags, and he'll put 1.5 in his pocket.
Yeah, and you know, sprinkle a little on the money line if you want to. I think. A dash.
Sprinkle a little.
Any of those picks that you like or any of those picks that you think are particularly stupid?
No, I pretty much just kind of go opposite of Marco on whatever he says.
He's a fader.
Okay, so now who are you picking? Michigan State or Kansas State?
K-State.
Arkansas or UConn?
UConn.
FAU or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Zags or UCLA?
Zags.
Man, you know, everything tells me to pick Tennessee, but there's something I like about this FAU team. I like their coach.
Yeah.
I like the way they play. I like their uniforms. I like how mad Frank Haith got at the non-call in the first round. And all in one moment, I had no idea that Frank Haith was on that staff. Like, look how mad that guy is. That looks like Frank Haith getting mad when he was with Missouri. And then I'm like, okay, that is Frank Haith. And he's mad, but he's with Memphis, so... I was like, I'm so stupid. Yeah. I go, that guy looks like Frank Haith. He's all pissed off. Like, wait a minute, that is Frank Haith. He is, man. Hey, Coach Haith, how are you? Faith in Haith. Thank you. And then Penny Hardaway threw a water bottle towards the referees, and I was laughing. So, I don't know. It's entertaining for me.
It'll be fun tonight.
Sure. Sweet 16, good luck to Kansas State. We'll talk about it tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.